Thank you so much, Susan, for reading God's word to us so effectively. I want to begin before we look at the scripture today. I just wanted to talk to you for a moment, everyone, because you've been on my heart, and the Lord has been speaking to me as I've been preparing for Revelation. It's a very exciting and challenging book in many different ways, but it is probably of all the things that it is a means by which God's Holy Spirit awakens us to the fact that we are His, and that we are His people, and that we come together to worship Him today, and that we are together in this life to seek Him, to struggle, to suffer, to have victory, to recognize and see the hand of God, and also to go through times when we find it hard to see God at all. But we are His, and He remains there for us. I want to know that you to know that you are cared for, that there is a God in heaven who loves you, that He is very real, and that He is going to see you through this time. He speaks to us. He speaks to us through nature, like we heard today. He speaks to us through His word. He speaks to us through the prayers that we lift up. And if we listen to Him, we'll hear His voice. He speaks to us through brothers and sisters, like us here together. He speaks to us in ways that come unexpectedly. And one of the things that I just want to preface by saying today is that I'm going to share something later on at the end of the sermon that happened in the midst of being engaged in this great chapter of Revelation. And it is something that is awe-inspiring and fearful, but at the same time, peace-giving, reassuring, and filled with hope, because God reveals Himself to us. Would you let me just pray briefly before I begin to speak about this to you? Father, I thank You for this scripture, and I pray humbly before You that Your voice will be heard and not mine. I pray that all of us together, Lord, will worship You through this scripture as we look at it, and that You will infuse us with the knowledge that You desire for us to know, to equip us in love and strength and endurance in this life You have given us, until we see You face to face, Lord. And we praise You and lift up Your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I want to encourage you to open your Bibles and to keep them open to the first chapter of Revelation. It'll help you if you are in the habit of writing down notes. It'll be a good thing to do that today. And if you're not in the habit, it might be a good opportunity for you to write down not only things that I mentioned, but also things that God puts on your heart as you hear the words that are spoken again as we go through this great, great chapter, number one of Revelation. It's good to start with the obvious. It's a revelation, right? The word is another word for revelation is apocalypse, and it's an unveiling of the words that God had given to Jesus Christ. It says here the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to Him to show His servants the things that must soon take place. It's a very important message from the Father to Jesus Christ that He was giving to His servants so that they would know the things that would soon take place. And the words must soon take place, when we know our Bibles, we are given those kind of words so that we ponder them and that we draw close to God in anticipation of the things that He is going to do for us. It is not just waiting for them to happen in the future, thinking it's going to be soon, but it is a mindset that draws us in now so that we can live the words that God is giving to us now. He made it known by sending His angel to his servant John. And so there's an angel here who bore witness, John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. And this is the John who wrote the Gospel of John and the letters of John. And he is the writer of this revelation from Jesus Christ. He's the one who was given this task to write down the words that were given to him. And he, as we know from reading the Bible and knowing about John, he was one who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ. He lived that life. He spread the gospel. He was the one who recorded the words of Jesus Christ saying, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." John knew God well. And we're going to find out the situation that he was writing from that will tell us a little bit more of his perspective. But let's continue. But just know that John was one that was chosen by God to be an apostle. And he bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus to everyone that he saw. The next words are a tremendous encouragement to us. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. So Susan Chen is very blessed today. She's blessed anyway, and we're so happy for her to be our leader today to read these words. But here it says, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. And so that is also including us, right? That we are to engage with it, and we are to further it and to bring it into the world around us. Blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. So here again are those words, the time is near. It is something that draws us into God and to the message that he has for us. The time is near for these. And so we are living these times now as we anticipate the future. It says in Daniel 2:28, God is the revealer of mysteries. And so here he is revealing the mysteries to us in the revelation of Jesus Christ through John to the churches. And then it begins in the next verse. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth. And so he's writing to seven churches that we'll be introduced to in a little bit. We heard those read in the scripture. But for now, let's take a look at the greeting, right? It introduces the Trinity, which was also mentioned during the praise, the worship time today, right? Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and that is God the Father. And then from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and this, although it is a different order and also a different way of hearing the Holy Spirit being expressed, we believe that it is the Holy Spirit that is intended here, the spirits who are before his throne, the seven spirits who are before his throne. And this could also, the number seven is a whole number. It has a universal value. It's an important number, a fullness. And so it represents the fullness and the wholeness, the purity, the holiness of the Holy Spirit. And something else that I'll share with you in a moment. And then Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. Jesus was a faithful witness up until death, right? He stood before Pilate and professed that he was this king, that he was the one who is coming to save the world, that he was this one sent from God the Father, and he was true to God the Father up until the very end. And so he was the faithful witness. And the firstborn of the dead, he was the firstborn from the dead as he resurrected and was ascended into heaven. The firstborn from the dead to be raised from the dead and to ascend into heaven. And he's the ruler of kings on earth, the King of Kings. You've heard that before. He's the King of Kings. It means he's the greatest of all kings. And that is what God is showing to us through this great scripture here. I'd like to read you, just to clarify a little bit more about what this scene could possibly be telling us. It's from Michael Wilcock in a really, really great book that he wrote about Revelation. He says this, "Perhaps the unusual order of the Trinity here, Father, Spirit, Son, corresponds to the plan of the earthly sanctuary, where the ark and the Holy of Holies represents the throne of God, the seven-branch lampstand in the holy place before it represents the Spirit, and in the courtyard before that stands the altar, with its priest and its sacrifice, both representing, of course, the redeeming work of Christ." Very helpful words for us to be able to see where John is coming from as he's describing the Trinity to us there, right, from that example. And so let's move on to the next section. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And this is worship. This is worship personified. If you have time this summer and you're looking for something to put your talents to, take these verses and create a song for us to sing to glorify God together using this. He loves us. To him we worship, to him who loves us. Have you forgotten that in these times, brothers and sisters, that you are loved? You are loved. We are told to spread the gospel, to tell other people that they are loved. But you, brothers and sisters, are loved. Don't forget that. And he has freed us from our sins by his blood. We're free, like a butterfly, set free to fly. Are you flying in your faith? God wants you to fly. He wants you to experience him in that way. And it's all been done on the cross through the blood of Christ, which we are going to celebrate today, that we are set free through the blood. And we're going to celebrate that with the bread and the cup later on in the communion. He made us a kingdom. He made us a kingdom. If you're feeling down, just think about that. We're part of a kingdom, and we are making it up here in this church, the Church of Christ, priests to his God and Father, that we are priests. We are here to worship him, to offer up our praises to him in all different kinds of way. Use your gifts for his glory. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Brothers and sisters, we can't stand by idly in these times and let things cover us with all the despair. We have to use our gifts to show God that we are worshiping him and that we want to tell others the things that he has given to us as well, and share with others the things that he has given to us. So remember, there is a worshipful part here in these words. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. This is a scene that was described in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that Jesus will be coming with the clouds. Right? The clouds represent him being with God, and he's coming from God again in the future, and every eye will see him, and even those who pierced him. And this is the part that we need to pay attention to as his witnesses, that all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. What this is saying, brothers and sisters, is that there will be those who see him and regret that they have not given their lives to God, that they have not made that step and given their lives to Jesus Christ. Are you to be counted among those who has not given your life to Jesus? Then do it today, so that you won't wail at the sight of Jesus Christ, but that you will rejoice in seeing him coming to take you to heaven with him, where you will be spending eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ, who saved you from your sins and releases you, and so that you can live life to the fullest. Give your life to God. Amen. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega. You've heard this. You saw the beautiful slides today that Pat has provided for us today. She's been doing such a great job all through the summer. If you haven't been paying attention, pay attention to the beautiful art that she has been giving to us in worship. That is her worship of God, right? And today it was the symbols for Alpha and Omega, the A and the Z, right? The first and the last letters of the alphabet. Let me read you this. It's very interesting. Alpha and Omega is a merism, which is a figure of speech which states polar opposites in order to highlight everything between the opposites, like the beginning and the end. They express God's control of all history, especially by bringing it to an end in salvation and in judgment. The God who transcends time guides the entire course of history because he stands as sovereign over its beginning and its end. And these are great words for us to remember as well when we pray to the Alpha and the Omega, to remember that God holds history in his hands. When we go through these troubled times, we remember that there is a God who holds the history of mankind in his hands. And he is a kind God and a sovereign God who rules over all. with the intention of saving mankind, bringing salvation, which he accomplished through his son Jesus on the cross and through his resurrection. And the future holds great hope for us because of that. Amen. God has blessed us so much with these words. We're going to continue now to the words found in verse 9. I, John. Now, John is speaking here. I, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. And so what I want you to do today is to listen to those words as though they were written to you, because they are written to you. They are written to you because you are part of the church. You are a part of the fellowship that is in Christ. You are a brother or a sister and a partner with John and also with me and all of us here gathered today and all Christians across the globe in the tribulation, the troubled times, and in the kingdom that God has established through his son Jesus, and the patient endurance that are in Jesus. One of our deacons, during our meeting yesterday, we had a gathering to talk about how we were doing and to share with each other and pray with one another. And one of our deacons, Ken Cam, said that we need to learn patience during these times. And here it is, right? The patient endurance that is found in Christ Jesus. We have the patient endurance to endure hard things, suffering of any kind, because of the power that we have in Jesus Christ. Anyway, so John explains that he was on the island of Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. And so he was sent there by the Romans because of the fact that he believed in Jesus Christ, and he was spreading the gospel about Jesus Christ. And so he was there as a prisoner on this island, and we believe that that was probably in the mid-90s A.D., right? So that is the timing of it and the situation for it. But John goes on to say this: I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamum and to Thyatira and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. And so he was in the Spirit. He was gripped in the Spirit. I believe that also we can say that that would mean he was prayerful, right? That the Spirit was moving in him in a time of prayer. And he heard behind him a loud voice like a trumpet. A trumpet has a sound of Jesus, really, announcing a king. It's a royal sound. It's the sound that it was going to announce his second coming. It's a powerful, powerful sound that he heard. And it was telling him in a loud voice to write in a book a message that was going to be for the seven churches. And you remember that earlier we heard about that in the scripture at the beginning of this chapter. And we're going to study those messages that were given to those churches this summer. But these would probably be the most strategically located churches, right? There were many other churches in existence. But it appears to me that it's logical that these were the churches that God wanted to address, for they represented issues and also very positive things that God wanted to say to them for all churches to learn from. And so we are learning from the messages that came to them from Jesus Christ through John, his servant. It says he turned to see the voice that was speaking to him, right? And on turning, he saw seven golden lampstands. And so what were these golden lampstands? Well, it's defined in verse 20 that they were the seven churches. And the lampstands represent, of course, light, the light in Christ and the church as being the light that is his light. It also draws on the Old Testament, and many of the scriptures that we read in Revelation refer to places in the Old Testament, and they fulfill even prophecies from the Old Testament. And Moses' tabernacle, the lampstand, was one lampstand, and it had seven of the lamps on it. But it was the same kind of a symbol of a lampstand. This one, Michael Wilcock writes, could be the churches that are scattered across the earth, and that therefore they each are a lampstand in their own. He goes on to say that another verse that comes later, the stars are held together in the hand of Christ. But the lampstands are spread across to every nation. And in the hand of Christ are the stars which protect the churches and minister to them in adversity. And we'll talk about that in just a bit. Let's go on. The next part of the verses say, in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man. One like a son of man. So you have to imagine there are seven lampstands, and then there is in the midst of them one like a son of man. And so I know that you must remember that Jesus referred to him time and again as the son of man. In the Gospels, we've been reading that, right? That he said the son of man is come, right? And we remember that in Daniel, in the book of Daniel, these words were found. Let me read the words that are drawn upon and connected here. In Daniel chapter 7, 13 to 14, it says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. And so this very vividly describes that Jesus was that son of man, that king that was coming and who came and is coming again, Christ as a kingly and priestly figure. And it's also very, very moving to know that part of Christ's role is to tend to the lampstands as priest, to tend to the churches. The Old Testament priest would trim the lamps and remove the wick and the old oil, refill the lamps with fresh oil, and relight those that had gone out. And that's exactly what Jesus does. He tends to his churches, right? He replenishes them. He nourishes them. He feeds them. He also disciplines them, right, in these ways, but he tends to them. Christ is in the midst of the churches in this vision. What a powerful, powerful image for all of us to know that Christ is in the midst of us, no matter where we are, that Christ is in the midst of us. What a reassuring and beautiful thought that is, and not just a thought, but a reality. We'll go on to the next part that describes what John saw. He saw this son of man clothed with a long robe and a golden sash around his chest, and this represents the priesthood of Christ. The hairs of his head were white, like white wool, like snow, and this represents the divine wisdom in Christ. His eyes were like a flame of fire. Someone said that they saw into a person, not at a person. They saw into the heart, into the soul. And indeed, Jesus was talking to the churches in the following chapters and saying, I know all about you. I know the good, I know the bad, but I love you. I love you. His feet were like burnished bronze, and this represents enduring and stable strength. His feet, his voice was like the roar of many waters. The voice was like the roar of many waters, and this is the sound of a mighty conqueror. In his right hand, he held seven stars. This is what I was referring to earlier, that he held in his right hand seven stars, and these represented the angels who ministered to the churches. Can I ask you a question? Have you ever thought about the fact that there could very well be an angel that is assigned to Grace Church? What a powerful thought that is, that there is an angel that is assigned to our church to minister to us, to help us. And that in itself is an amazing thought and a great encouragement in these times. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And I'm sure that you think of the scripture in Hebrews that speaks about the word of God that searches and judges rebels, right? It cuts through all of the things and brings truth into our lives. And his face was like the sun shining in full strength. And this is his light that shines through the darkness. It's penetrating and powerful light that God gives to us. This face like the sun, just like the sun that is in the sky, that pours down this warmth and power to make things grow. That is the kind of sun that we see in this kind of an image. We always also remember at this point when John saw Jesus in this way, there was a moment when he went up on the mountain. Do you remember that in the transfiguration? And Jesus was glorified. And that could very well be that John saw the same kind of an image in Christ there, right? It was overpowering. It was something that was unlike anything they had ever seen before, but it possessed all of this wisdom, all these great things, all these attributes of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we'll go on. What does John do when he sees this great Christ before him? He falls at his feet as though dead. He falls at his feet as though dead. He did this just like Daniel did. Daniel was another person who fell down when the angel came from heaven to give him an announcement that his prayer had been answered, right? And he was restored. And brothers and sisters, we also need to be falling down before God, not in fear, as we'll see, but we need to be falling down in reverence and in awe of Jesus Christ. How do you perceive of Jesus Christ in your life? Is he just simply a man who was kind and compassionate and a good person who lived on the earth? This kind of an image here gives us a far greater appreciation of the fact that he left glory in heaven to come down to become a man like you and I. But it was limited here, but when he went up into heaven, he took on this glory again that he had once had. Jesus is much greater than just a man. He is the Son of God. He is the King of Kings. He is everything to us. The intent of Revelation is to put us on our knees before God in worship and to set the salvation-shaping words of God in motion in our lives. Those are words of Eugene Peterson. Amen. Let us bow down before our Maker. Let us come before him each day and say, Lord, take my life and show me yourself. Reveal yourself to me. He laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not. I am the first and the last and the living one. And so you see, John fell down in fear before Christ. We know that because Jesus said, fear not. And that is the word that God gives to us today as well. That in the midst of all these things, we are not to have any fear, but to know that he is the living one. He is the one who conquered death. He resurrected from the grave. He continues to appear to us in many different ways. He comes into our life and he restores us. He has not come to make us afraid, but to restore us and to give us hope in him. And so hold on to those words today as well. He is the first and the last. He is everything. He's the Alpha and the Omega, all of these things that point to the great power that we find in our God. And we are his people. We are made in his image. How do we think of him? How do we reflect on him? How does our life reflect him? Right? Use our gifts. Use our inspiration from God. Use these words to infuse the world around us with Jesus Christ and see the change that will take place when they come to know him. It goes on to say, lastly, I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. He has all authority over this realm. It is in his possession. It is in his possession. And John was told to write down the things that he saw, those that are and those that are to take place after this. And then the last words of the chapter say, as for the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Amen. Amen. God has blessed us richly with this chapter. Let me just make a few points here to share with you what God put on my heart and that I feel that he wants you to know today as well. First of all, John was on an island designated to banish people like him for their faith in Jesus Christ. It was a rocky, uninspiring place, gray, filled with rocks, designed to break a man's spirit and to bring a lonely and demeaning death. But God came to John and revealed himself to him. His apostle was still his messenger, still the one that he had been before, and before the fact that he was put on this island by the Romans trying to get rid of him. Nothing could separate the follower of Jesus Christ from the love of God. He was taken from Patmos by God in this way, spiritually, which was darkness and suffering, into God's spirit, which is healing light. He's in that moment, in that time. And brothers and sisters, I want you to know that this is the message for us today. If you are feeling isolated, and I know that many people have told me that they feel tired, they feel fatigued, they feel overwrought, they feel that they're alone, they cannot have interaction with other people, they feel that they are in this gray place and they can't snap out of it. be encouraged that Jesus Christ is coming to our church, and this angel that he has sent to us today, whoever it is that is ministering to our church, we praise God for that angel. But most of all, we praise Jesus Christ. But he is here to tell you that you are not alone. And it doesn't matter what can happen in the circumstances in your life, be it something that is going on right now with the COVID-19 virus, or the racial unrest, or the wars that are continuing on. It could be something going on in your life as a result of all of these things. Your relationships are suffering. You feel that you're not yourself. You lack energy. You don't feel that you have direction. Here is the direction. Follow Christ. Give him your life. Bow down before him. Worship him. That is the purpose God has given to you at any time, every time of your life. And that is the purpose that gets you up in the morning and is the one that brings us to bed to rest at night. God is there for you. And he comes and he breaks through all of mankind's attempts to shut him out. He can't be held away because he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the Almighty God. He is the risen Savior. He is the living one. And he loves you. And he's giving you that message today. The second message, fear not. These are the words that Jesus reassured John with. He didn't come to him to criticize him. He didn't come there merely to tell him something that was going to be for the place that he was in. He was going to use him and establish him again and say, you are the one who is my faithful witness, and you are the one who is going to continue to be my witness now from this island. He could have chosen someone in a much different kind of a place, but he chose John. In this kind of a place, of all the places that he could have chosen someone, it was there because John was faithful to him. And so we see the importance of being faithful, how God uses the faithful to serve him. Understandably, John was faced with the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, he fell to his knees in fear, right? But he was given the words to be written down for fellow believers. His calling was not over. It had been crowned with the message of exhortation to the churches and the message of final victory through the end times leading to Jesus' return. That is what God does in our lives. And that is what fulfills us, is being servants of God. And so we want to make sure that we are close to him and hear that message and not to be afraid in times like these. Don't let it get to you. Don't let it overwhelm you. Join together. Join together. We are here for one another to encourage each other in this way. Brothers and sisters, we must not fear. Know that Christ is the risen Savior and King, and he is the King over heaven and earth. And he revealed himself to us when he lived on earth, in his death, resurrection, and as is reigning in heaven now as King. But he is King now of the earth. He is our King. We need not fear the future when we put our lives in his hands. I want to share something now that I told you about before, in addition to the things, as though this was not great enough. But I want to share something personal with you today because it really did happen this past week, and it was very, very upsetting to me. And I spoke with my wife talking about this because it involves her as well. But we both feel that it's important because it kind of relates to the things we've heard some of you experiencing in your lives. There was one day when I woke up and I was really feeling the pressures of all these things that I've been telling you to give to Jesus. I myself was feeling very weak. I was feeling overwhelmed. I felt my spirit wasn't good. And I woke up in a sour mood. Well, to cut to the end of the story, my wife and I had a disagreement. But I really don't believe that it was a disagreement that was the kind that we've had before. It was something that was really shadowed with darkness. It was something that crept in that made us feel heavy and a point of really almost of despair. And it was a scary feeling. Well, I had a friend who I meet with on a call each week, and we go through a book, a religious book, each week, and we've been reading through different books together and discussing them and praying together. And I had this call with him in this day, And I was thinking, oh, how am I going to get on that call with him? And I really thought about writing a text to him and saying, you know, I don't feel well. It would have been somewhat true. But I kind of felt like, no, I need to do this. And so I went into that phone call thinking, I'm going to fake it. I'm going to just, you know, put on a smile, and I'm going to talk with him, and I'm going to, you know, engage with this book, and we can talk about our lives and things like that. And I foolishly thought I'd be able to get away with it, but God knew better. And as we went on and we were talking about the book, I had a great negativity about the things that I was talking about. I said, I don't like the way he said this, and I don't like the way that he wrote this, and this doesn't make sense to me. And my friend got nervous because he heard me speaking like that, and it really wasn't the way that I normally talk about things. And so he was trying to say a lot of different things to make up for the fact that I was not feeling well. Well, after we discussed the book, he said, I want to share with you something that happened at my church earlier this week. We had a men's group. And in the men's group, the pastor talked to us, and he said, I want to ask you something since it's just us men together. How are you doing in your life? How are you doing with your wives? How are you doing with your wives? And, you know, at that moment when he started talking about that, I began to become very nervous. And he said to me, this pastor broke us into little groups on Zoom, just like Alan breaks us into little groups. And we went into small groups, and we were sharing about some of the difficulties that we had. And he said, we were able to share some of the hardships that we have. We have tension with our wives or with different people in our lives, different things were going on. And the pastor said, how are you relating to your wives, love language? And if you know the book about the different love languages, that was what he was referring to. What kind of signals is your wife giving you of what she needs that she's lacking from you during these times? Well, I really didn't know what to say at all, except to just go along and listen to him. And so out of the blue, everyone, my friend, who I've known for so many years, said to me, and John, I need to ask you that question right now. How are you doing in your relationship with your wife? And my heart sank, and all of the things that I was trying to do and to make up for it and to try to be strong and to fake and to smile my way through just were gone because I was in the grip of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that my friend was in the grip of the Holy Spirit as well. And it wasn't a very easy thing for me to admit to, I have to say. But I had to say to him, well, things are not good right now. And he said, I could tell. From the time you got on the phone with me today, I could tell. And he said, I know you. And I said, well, it's you know, I kind of, the words came out really, really slow and hard. And I said, well, I had a fight with Lee Chan. And she's sitting really close nearby in the next room, and I don't want to talk about too much about it. And he said, you don't have to talk about it. I just want to let you know this, that you are loved and you are cared for, and that there's a God who loves you, and he's going to see you through this. And he's going to help you to be able to see life in this way. But never forget the value that you have in him. He didn't tell me that I was, tell me more about the details so I can counsel you. He didn't talk about anything like that. What he did was he ministered to me in that moment. And, you know, at that time, everybody, I didn't say a lot to him after that. But I went out from the room, and Lee Chan had also been thinking. And we both came together, and we reconciled. But it was really only through the Holy Spirit that was working through my friend and through all of, you know, in our hearts that we were able to come out of that darkness. And I want to just say to you today, how are you doing in your life? We need to be there for each other, yes, to support each other and to love one another and to say these things. But sometimes, brothers and sisters, we need to ask the questions that are hard. How are you doing in your life? Are you experiencing the love of God and the victory that he desires to have in your life? How about with your spouse? How about with your loved ones, the people in your family? Perhaps it's someone at work. Perhaps it's someone else. We don't know. But how are you doing in that situation? What I'd like you to do is just take a moment and close your eyes and ask God to help you in that situation, and that His Holy Spirit will come and minister to you, and that you will be reconciled, and that you will be encouraged, and that the Holy Spirit, just as it comes in the churches, that this Holy Spirit is coming to Grace Church today through the book of Revelation to come in and to go to those places where it hurts and where we can't really open up, but to give ourselves to Christ and to know that you do not need to fear. You do not need to fear anything. Give your life to Him. Are you afraid for your children? Are you afraid for the future for them? Are you afraid of having to face time inside? Are you afraid of the racism that is going on in this world? Draw near to God. Auntie Fong told us this week, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. So brothers and sisters, do that. You can open your eyes, but let God come in and minister you. He's here to minister to our church. That is the whole emphasis of Revelation, that we would come into His presence, that we would be renewed and made new like butterflies, so that we can worship Him, we can come into His presence and share in His great love. Amen. Let God minister to you today. If you need to talk to me at any time, you can. My door is always open. If you need to talk to other people, but most importantly, talk to the person that you need to speak to, with whom you have a difference, or that you have a relationship that is broken. Jesus will heal it. He will heal that relationship and make it brand new. Let us sing a song of response that draws us in to the great Jesus Christ.